All right, and actually, you can stay seated, because when I had Shaylin read earlier, she actually read our scripture text for today. So I don't think we need to read it again this morning, but if you do want to follow along as we're sharing this morning, you can open up your Bibles to Luke 2, Luke 2, 15 to 20, and that's where our message is going to come from, and we can bow our heads together, please, at this time. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for your word, and we thank you for this great hope that we receive through your word. And Lord, we know that when something is very familiar, when a message is very familiar, like this one that we're considering today and later on this afternoon, that it's easy for us to simply to tune it out almost, to really forget the importance of the message. But we pray, Lord, that you would strike us again, that you would strike us just in a powerful way, of the wonderful thing that you have done for us, the great blessing that Jesus is to us, and help us to never, ever take him for granted or the salvation that he brings to us. And bless us now as we reflect upon that hope, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as all of you know, Christmas, it's about Jesus. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. It's about his coming into the world. It's about God taking on flesh and living among his people. And it's about him doing so in order that he might save us from our sin. Now, as Christians, I think most of us know this. And of course, this is what we gather together, and it's what we celebrate every year. And although we might enjoy some of the fun traditions that go along with the Christmas season, everything about our holiday celebration centers on Jesus. Our worship centers on Jesus. Our Christmas carols center on Jesus. Our family traditions, our decorations, our family time, all of that centers upon Jesus and upon what he has done for us. And for this reason, we begin to grumble and complain oftentimes, is our culture does everything it can to turn Christmas into a secular holiday. We grumble and complain as our culture does everything it can to separate Christ from the holiday that celebrates his birth. Knowing the meaning of the day, this is something that frustrates many of us to no end. We complain about the fact that Christmas is marketed as heavily as it is, turning it into nothing more than a way for stores to make money, you know, and we oftentimes hear that this is the time when the stores are making up their shortfalls as people are splurging on Christmas gifts for their loved ones and for their friends. We grumble when cashiers wish us a happy holidays when we check out at the store rather than Merry Christmas. We complain that the concerts that are put on by our schools seem to leave Jesus out as much as they possibly can. The songs focus on winter and they focus on Santa and everything else, everything but Jesus. We complain that on the school calendar, Christmas break is now referred to as winter break. We complain if a Christmas display set up by the city or even by the federal government does not contain a nativity along with it. We complain that the Christmas programs on TV focus only upon Santa and not upon Jesus. And we even complain that the cups at Starbucks are not Christmassy enough. Now, while it's true that Christmas is not a secular holiday, while it's true that the reason for the celebration is the coming of Jesus into the world, I think one of the very important things we must bear in mind is that, you know what, it's not the government's job to proclaim Christ to the world. It's not the job of the schools to proclaim Christ to the world. It's not the job of Walmart or Target or Starbucks to proclaim Christ to the world. Nor is this the job of CBS, NBC, or ABC. We cannot honestly expect a godless society to proclaim the message of the Savior's birth. And I realize that things used to be very different than they are now. I realize that our culture used to be much more Christian than it is now. And I confess that, yep, I am oftentimes irritated by all of these changes that I see going on in our world today. I am annoyed by the effort to separate Christmas from the Christ child, But again, we must bear in mind that proclaiming Christ to the world is the job of the church. It's the role, it's the calling that God has given to us as his people. And the question that I want us to think about this morning as we look at that gospel lesson is this. Are we doing it? Are we proclaiming Christ to the world around us? Are we making him known to those who surround us on a daily basis? Now, the message of Jesus is one that we often refer to as the gospel. And the word gospel, it means good news. So the message of Jesus is good news. And certainly the message of his birth, the message of his coming, it's such good news that we should be eager to share this message with everyone we meet. We should desire that everybody at least hears this good news. But so often today, us as the church, we fail to make this message known. Although, again, we'll grumble and complain that Jesus is being removed from Christmas, we fail to share this message, and we fail to do so because we have been brainwashed into thinking that religion is merely a private matter. Because we live in a multicultural society where people have all kinds of different backgrounds and different beliefs, we have come to believe that our faith, that this hope, is something that we shouldn't talk about. Now, what's the old adage? And you all know it. There are three things that you don't talk about, right? Money and politics and religion. And you see, we seem to think that talking about our faith, that leads to nothing but conflict and hurt feelings. And for this reason, we keep our mouths shut and we fail to share our faith with others. As we gather with our family for Christmas celebrations, we don't want to disrupt it with arguments about religion, right? We want it to be a happy, joyful time. As we interact with our coworkers, we keep silent about our faith just so that peace is maintained within the office. We, again, do not want any hard feelings interfering. And as we interact with our neighbors, we engage only in small talk so that we can remain on good terms with everybody. After all, we don't want anyone thinking badly of us. But as we look at the accounts of the first Christmas, we see that this message is something that God does not want kept quiet. It's something that he wants announced to the world. It's a message that he has called upon us to proclaim. And we know this because right after Jesus was born, an angel appeared. An angel appeared who announced his birth. And this was not a private announcement. It wasn't a private conversation like the one had between the angel and Mary, or between the angel who appeared to Joseph a little bit later on. He sent an angel to tell some shepherds in a field. He sent a great choir of angels to praise the Lord for this great miracle. And he would not have done so had he wanted this message kept quiet. We also see this in the words of the angel that were spoken to the shepherds, and we heard those a little bit earlier. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the good news that was brought by the angel, the message of Jesus' birth, we see that it was intended not only for the shepherds. The angel said that this is a message that is for all people. In other words, God wanted everyone to know about the Savior who was born to them. And the shepherds, they clearly understood what this meant. And we know this because we see in our lesson that after receiving this message, they immediately went and they found Jesus. They found Mary and Joseph, we are told, and they found the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw him, they made known. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. In other words, they shared with others the message that the angel had given to them. So they told others about Jesus. They told others that the Savior had been born. And everyone who heard it wondered at this message spoken by the shepherds. They marveled. They were amazed at this message. Now, just like the shepherds, most of us sitting here today, we have had Jesus revealed to us. Now, we may not have had an angel appear announcing him to us. We may not have witnessed a choir of angels praising God before our very eyes, and we may not have seen Jesus personally. However, he has been revealed to us through the Word of God. He has been revealed to us through the promise of God. The Holy Spirit has been at work within our hearts, revealing to us and bringing us to the understanding that Jesus is the Savior, our Savior and that of all mankind, so that we trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of everlasting life. And like the shepherds, most of us, we clearly understand that the message of Jesus is not for us alone. We realize that he didn't come only for us. We realize that he didn't die only for our sins. We understand that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so this message, it's for all mankind. He wants all people to know and to understand that the Savior has come. He wants all people to know and to understand that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He wants all people to look to him in faith that they might receive the salvation that he has provided to them. And so, like the shepherds, we should not keep quiet about this message. If we truly believe in the miracle of Christmas, if we truly believe in the good news of the gospel, there's no way that we can keep it to ourselves. Like the shepherds, we will make known what's been revealed to us about Jesus. Now again, when I say this, I don't mean simply that we're to go out and sign petitions to keep the public nativity display. I don't mean that we're going to complain on Facebook about the store clerks wishing us a happy holidays. I don't mean that we're going to complain and grumble about the cup that Starbucks gives to us when we order our coffee. I mean that we'll go out and tell people about Jesus, and that we'll do so ourselves. And we must do so because just like the people of Jesus' day, the world needs to know that the Savior has come. They need to know who he is, and they need to know what it is that he came to do. They need to know that he came, that he was born into this world, that they might be saved from their sin. They need to know that he has come to save them from the punishment that their sin brings upon them. They need to know these things that, again, they might believe in him and receive his salvation. Now, most of you, you know that this is the calling that God has placed upon us as the church. As I mentioned earlier, you know that we have been called to proclaim Jesus to everyone. You're familiar with Jesus' call in Matthew 28 to make disciples of all nations, and that we are to do so by preaching the gospel to them, right? By teaching them, by baptizing them, by going to them. He told us that we are to be his witnesses to the very ends of the earth. He has told us that we are to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And so again, our role as followers of Christ is to share this message. And this isn't optional. It's not a task that we can ignore. And this isn't a job that we can leave for somebody else whom we believe to be more qualified than us. This is a crucial role that God has given to us. And it's crucial because, as we know from Scripture, we receive the grace of God through faith in Jesus. So if we are to be saved, if anyone is to be saved, we must first believe in him. As we read in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. But if people are to come to faith, if they are to believe in him and be saved, Scripture says, we must first hear of him. People must first hear the gospel. As Paul tells us in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And you see, you and I, we are the ones who have been called to this task. We are those who have been called to preach the good news. And this, you see, is God's plan for reaching the world. As we look at Scripture, there is no plan B. If we fail in our calling, if we fail to tell people about Jesus, if we fail to reveal to them the coming of the Savior, we are leaving them in their sins. We're leaving them under the condemnation of God. If they don't hear the gospel, if they don't hear about Jesus, they will not be able to believe in Him and receive His salvation. And I know that when I say this, some of you are probably having a certain thought go through your mind. And some of you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, God can reach people in other ways. And you might be thinking about the occasional stories we hear of Jesus appearing to people in dreams and visions. Oftentimes nowadays we're hearing stories of Muslims coming to faith in Christ by the way of visions. And I do believe this is happening. But we must understand that this is the exception rather than the norm. God's primary method for reaching this world for Christ is His church. He has called you and I to proclaim this message. However, that being said, that doesn't mean this is something we should be doing purely out of guilt. Knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing what He has saved us from, should be motivation enough. We should be so filled with joy that we can't help telling others what we have seen and heard. We should want nothing more than the opportunity to share Christ with those who don't yet know Him. And although we don't always recognize them, these opportunities are around us every moment of every single day. And I say this because even though here in the United States most people profess to be Christian, and even though almost everybody here in our country has at least one Bible in their home, and in this country almost every town in our nation has a church within it, not everybody knows about Jesus. Actually, it's a minority of the people in our nation who are active in the church. It's a minority of the people in our country who can explain to you how God has saved them and how we receive that salvation. And we can point them to the Savior. We can share with them the good news. And we have the opportunity to do this even in our own home, as we seek to raise our children in faith. And again, we emphasize this as we had the two families up with their children who were being baptized. And it's needless to say that anybody who truly trusts in Jesus, they're going to want their children to be saved. They're going to seek the salvation of their children, and they're going to do so at all costs. And as parents, we have more opportunities to reach our kids with the gospel than anyone else in the world. We also have the opportunity to point people to Jesus in our family. And what I mean by this is, you know, more of our extended family. We all have people in our lives. We all have family members who don't know the Lord. And it might be somebody close to us. It might be somebody living within our own home. But it might also be somebody a little bit more distant in terms of our relation. But as we interact with them and as we share our lives together with them, we have countless opportunities to share with them the message of Jesus. We have the opportunities to share Christ with our friends. Again, we have these people who surround us on a regular basis. We have these people who interact with us on a regular basis. And for this reason, we have all kinds of chances, all kinds of opportunities to share the good news with them. We have the opportunity to share Jesus in the church. And yes, you heard me right, because even the church needs to be evangelized. Again, we have our children whom we're seeking to raise in faith, and we're trying to help families and parents in doing so. We share Jesus with them through Sunday school, VBS, youth group, confirmation, worship, and in many other ways. Excuse me. But there are also others in the church who don't know Jesus. There are some who wander through our doors looking for something, but they don't know what. There are people who have come to church for years, but they have done so more out of tradition than out of faith in the Lord. And we have the opportunity to share Jesus with these people. Not to mention the fact that even as believers, we sometimes struggle in our faith, don't we? We face circumstances in life that lead to questions, and they lead to doubts. And for this reason, we need to hear the gospel again and again and again. We need to be continually reminded of Jesus and of what he has done for us. And we have the opportunity to share Jesus right here in our community. Even in a small town like Beulah, even in a town where there are few people but a lot of churches, there are still a majority of the people here in our town and in our area who are not involved in any of the churches. There are many, a majority, who don't know Jesus as their Savior. And we bump into them all the time as we are running errands. We interact with them at various events around town. And we can use these opportunities to share the gospel with them. And of course, we also have opportunities to go to distant lands to share the gospel. And this might not be a large percentage of us, but some do go. They go on short-term mission trips, like groups from our own church who have gone to places like Haiti, Cuba, Ecuador, India, remote Alaska. We have some planning to go to Brazil this summer. We have had a couple of our young people who have gone on longer-term mission trips, going for several months. And of course, there are others who maybe fell to mission work or feel called to mission work on a full-time basis. As believers, as people who have this hope within us, all we have to do is be watchful. We must be attentive to all of the opportunities that come our way. And we must have a heart for the lost. We must have a concern for their eternal welfare. And like the Lord, we must have a desire for their salvation. And again, this is not something that we have to muster up within ourselves. It's not something that we have to motivate in ourselves or come up with enough willpower to carry out. The joy that we have in Jesus, the joy in what he has done for us, will naturally overflow so that we cannot help but share Jesus with the world. Knowing his salvation firsthand, we will not be able to help what Jesus or sharing what Jesus has done for us. Nor will we be able to help share, my tongue is getting tied up. Nor will we be able to help sharing what Jesus has done for them. So as we celebrate Christmas today, as we celebrate the salvation that he brings into the world, let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's not keep our mouths shut out of fear or out of a lack of responsibility. Let's make sure that we are faithfully proclaiming the good news. Like the shepherds, let us go forth and share with everybody what we have seen and what we have heard. Let's go forth and share with everybody that the Savior has come. Amen. Let's pray together, please. Well, once again, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the salvation that you have brought into the world. We know, Lord, that without the coming of Jesus and without his sacrifice, that we would be eternally lost. And so we are so grateful that you have done this for us and that you have done it for us purely out of your love and out of your mercy. And we pray, Lord, that that same spirit, that same heart that you possess would be shared by us. We pray, Lord, that we too would have a concern for the lost. We pray that we too would desire the salvation of all mankind and that this would motivate us to go forth and share the good news that you have given to us. So use us, Lord, as your church to carry out your purpose and your calling. In Jesus' name, amen.